Hello and welcome to the debut of Boston Globe 10.0 presented by Verizon. And we are excited to get started. Dan Shaughnessy, author of Senior Year, is our guest. So let's start off with question number one. Is Mark Burley worth the price to the Red Sox? The White Sox reportedly have Burley on the trading block, and reports out of Chicago have the Sox the leading contenders. Now, the White Sox are looking for two prospects, a pitcher and a position player. Is Burley worth that price to the Sox? Dan, do the Sox have to do anything?
Of course not. They don't have to do anything here. They're okay as they're constituted. I think that for the playoffs, you'd love to have another guy like that. You'd love to have an arm like that. But you know what? If you'd be talking Ellsbury, Buchholz, I'm not going there.
No, and the point is, too, he's a rental. It's almost given a dead solid cinch that he wants to go play for the Cardinals, and the Cardinals are going to be ready to throw the money at him.
The only reason you might do this is the old preemptive strike so the Yankees don't do it. But that's becoming less and less of a factor. If anything, they're a wild card entity. They're not going to threaten you for first place in the division. They could be a threat in the postseason. Yeah, you got to give them that. Left-handers are always tough for the Yankees.
Now let's get back to this prospect thing, and just in general terms, all right? Are we ready to anoint or accept the idea that Clay Buchholz, the right-hand pitcher in Portland, is the gem, the current flavor of the month, gem of the organization, that you, the untouchable of untouchables of all the prospects?
I'm putting Ellsbury with him, only because he's a center fielder. He's the future Johnny Damon. He's an everyday player, which I know people love pitchers, but I still love everyday players. But yes, those two, to me, they're 1 and 1A, and they're both untouchables.
What if somebody asked for Lester?
Boy, you know, there's so much emotion attached to that.
Right,
that you can't trade John Lester at this hour, but I understand, you know, practically speaking, someone might try to do that. I think just because of the emotional aspects of it, the Sox can't do that.
Would Burley scare you in Fenway? He gets hit. I forget the no-hitter. I know he threw a no-hitter. It's an aberration. He's not a no-hit pitcher. I don't know how that happened.
Yeah, those things are always aberrations. He doesn't. I'd take him. He's a healthy arm. He's done it in the big time. You know, big game performer. Still only, what, 28 years old?
That's right, 28.
You take him on, no problem.
All right. Now, when will Curt Schilling be back on the mound? Schilling is on the 15-day disabled list with a sore shoulder. He has not been cleared to start throwing yet, and Big Schill is getting a bit antsy. So, when will Schilling be back? Dan, I got to read you a quote. Curt Schilling, in reference to Theo Epstein's just casual, you know, description of how they're going to go about bringing him back, said, well, it's easy to analyze that when you've not in uniform and you've never been in one.
Yeah, stop it, please. I mean, hey, I was there when that question was posed on Friday. It was posed as a hypothetical. Would it be best to just shut him down through the All-Star break? Which makes a lot of sense when you think about it. Yeah, I'm all for shutting him down through the All-Star break at this point. What's one more star going to get you? But for him to take that path, it wasn't in uniform. This goes back to the whole contract thing of the spring. It's not a good idea for Curt to be taking that tack right now.
No, well, Curt, I mean, in this regard, he's almost like he's reinvented the concept of being on the disabled list. Curt, you're on the disabled list because you can't throw. You could throw. You were down to 84 miles an hour. You have an owie. You needed a cortisone shot. You were 40 years old. You're not in the best physical shape. Does he ignore all this?
This is a bad development for all the reasons you just cited. I mean, this is a guy who decided this spring or last winter he wanted another contract.
Yeah.
He played his cards. It didn't work out his way. He doesn't want to go somewhere else. He wants to pitch out his career in Boston next year, year after if he can. What's happened to the shoulder is a bad development for that. What you're seeing in the paper, these quotes are a residue of that, but it's unfortunate. He could still be a good pitcher. But just stop it.
No, but that's asking. Oh, come on, stop.
I know.
No, I mean, Curt.
The Theo quote's ridiculous.
Curt being Curt is just as much of anything as
Manny
being Manny.
He should shut down through the All-Star break, come back and try and be strong again.
And they're doing
no
it for
sense.
His own good, the team's own good, everyone's own good.
Yeah.
All right. Now, is Josh Beckett the best pitcher in the American League? Now, Beckett, along with CeCe Sabathia, are the only 11-game winners in baseball. Beckett's 11-1 with a 3.07 ERA. Now, last year, he gave up 36 home runs. This year, he's down to 5. So is he better than Sabathia, Johan Santana, Dan Herron, and John Lackey? I like him a lot. We love him. We love him. He probably will start the All-Star game, which is because he's going to be available. That's what determines that. But I got to stop a bit short about before I crown him as the very best pitcher in the league.
I think if you bat in the right-handed batter's box, he'd be the guy you'd least like to step in there against.
Yeah.
If you're left-handed, Santana's the guy you don't want to get in there against. I don't even, you know, the other guys, the numbers are there. Yeah, Herron, Lackey, I'm not going to put them in the category. Josh Beckett's got tremendous stuff. What you saw last year, he was being hard-headed. That's all gone away. The pitching coach thing has helped him. He's got another year in the league, and boy, they all want to pitch in San Diego.
Oh, yeah, well, that's another
that
matter.
Helps.
Absolutely. Dan Haran. Dan, I got to run some numbers
who
by you, though.
Guy?
Dan Haran. Well, he's a right-hander for the A's.
Yeah.
They're hitting 1.87 against him. He's got 89 strikeouts and 26 walks. ERA 1.78. Yeah. His whip, and I know you're big on modern stats. You're
whip.
A whip kind of guy.
Yeah, yeah.
His whip, which is walks and hits per innings pitch, is 0.90. I got to say that he would have as much acclaim on achievement as anybody right now.
No question. I haven't counted the days, whether it's his fifth day, as it is for Beckett, which is going to make the difference in this thing, I think. Plus, I mean, Dan Haran, who is he? But he pitches in a pitcher's park.
That's true.
All year. The best pitcher's park in the American League is Oakland.
And we like about Beckett, his road record is tremendous.
Oh, yeah.
His road record, where he's undefeated this year. But you know what? If they ran all those pitchers in the American League up the flagpole right now, Johan Santana is the guy that the general manager just won. Don't you think?
Being
okay, what his current record is.
He's more lights out. He's left-handed. He is the guy.
Question number four. Are the Red Sox being too careful with John Lester? Lester was pitching well before getting lit up last night for 9 hits and 8 runs and 4 and a third innings. With Schilling on the DL and Tavares having problems last night, is it time to take off the training wheels and bring Lester up?
Well, something doesn't smell right about this whole thing, okay? My view of this is Lester wants to get to the big leagues.
Oh,
we understand that. He was here. He was achieving at the highest level. Horrible thing happened to him. That's the main comeback, is to get his health back. Everybody cares for that the most. But if you're talking about pitching, he's walking too many guys. The numbers last night were abysmal. He's not ready to pitch in the big leagues again, and no one wants to tell him that, so it's a very awkward situation.
I mean, they are telling him that because they, because he did have, in some ways, very good statistics until last night. Forget the one loss. His other numbers were lining up very well. How good do you think? All right, let's talk about John Lester. How big were you on John Lester last year? What did you see?
We were all very big on him. He's a left-handed pitcher, throws hard, throws strikes, and great poise for his age, tremendous poise. Left-handed starters, you can't get these guys. You can't find them. But again, I think that they couched it this week as, we don't want to disrupt his routine. This could be a 2 or 3 start deal and go back down. We don't want to do that to John Lester, but they don't think he's ready. He doesn't want to hear that. It's a little bit of a push-pull going on.
I loved him for his competitiveness. He was a high-pitch count guy. We're used to that around here. We've got plenty of those. But here's what I remember most about John Lester. He pitches against the Mets. He goes 116 pitches in on 5 innings, which you say, well, boy, that's not very impressive, right? Pitch number 116 was a 94-mile-an-hour heater that fanned David Wright in a big situation. And I remember thinking, we have something here. So I think, you take every precaution with this kid, but I think it's for his own good.
They're
but we know
that.
He wants to be here.
And he will pitch inside in Fenway Park, which lefties need to do.
We love that. Now, coming up next on Globe 10.0, presented by Verizon, will the Celtics keep or trade the fifth pick? We'll debate that next. Welcome to Globe 10.0, presented by Verizon. 4 questions down, 6 to go. Will the Celtics keep the number 5 pick or trade it? Danny Ainge and his staff have been working out players like Al Horford, Jeff Green, and Corey Brewer. But will Ainge, who is under pressure to start winning, draft another young player or trade it for a veteran who can help the team win right now? Now, Dan, before we even discuss who might be the pick if he keeps it, 4 years in, should we even be having this discussion?
We shouldn't be having any discussion where you're asking me questions about the draft, okay? You're the commissioner of basketball.
Talk philosophy.
This is like it's like Al Gore asking someone else about global warming,
right,
okay? But I'll indulge you as best I can. I think that, first of all, I think they will trade the pick. The conversation should we be having, what's going on with Danny and Doc? They've had a pretty free ride around
here.
They have
had a remarkable ride. Can you imagine a Red Sox tandem getting away with what they've gotten away with?
It's bad. Shame on us for not hammering them harder, and we'll get to that this week, I promise you.
I love Doc.
I know. Everybody loves him. It's not happening. I think that there's more pressure coming from within the organization than ever. I mean, the owners have been like, okay, we signed these whopping checks. We got to make the playoffs. Let's go. That's why I think you're going to see the pick traded. I hate to see Al go. We can get
reasons.
To that, but yeah.
Yeah, I think you're right that it will happen. I don't want to see it happen, particularly if it involves Al Jefferson. 2 reasons, Danny, you're right. There's internal, there has to be internal pressure. Or else these guys are comatose.
Please.
I put internal pressure on them to make it something happen. And number 2, the Paul Pierce factor. Now, he's on record apparently today as saying that if they don't make a move, he's going to howl, stamp his feet, be a big, start throwing a fuss about being traded if they don't get a veteran for him. Do you even worry about that, though? How does that impress you?
I don't worry about that. Paul Pierce, he's had a great career here. He's a superstar player, as he keeps telling us when he throws his teammates under the
I'm
bus.
I'm a great player. Don't forget that.
Yeah, I got a great, But so, no, they're not going to probably be relevant or contenders in his professional lifetime, I'm okay trading him. I think they are going to make a deal to bring in an established star to play with them.
I mean, the thing is, we both would drive him to the airport.
Yeah.
But the point of it is, if the point is to have two veterans, then we expunge the veteran. Four years in, we shouldn't be having this discussion. I promise you that. I'd love to know what the people really think. I think people want to keep, for example, Al Jefferson. I don't want to give Jefferson that in the five.
Well,
I'll wait another 2 years.
I'm just hoping that in Waltham on Thursday, it's like one of those New York Jets kind of crowds there.
They deserve that.
Yes.
They deserve that kind of scrutiny. All right, question number six. What NBA superstar will be traded this week? The rumor mill has been flying all week with players like Kobe Bryant, Kevin Garnett, and Jermaine O'Neal, the center of trade talks. One scenario even has Garnett joining Bryant in L.A. Ooh. So, Dan, will any of this come to pass, or is this a lot of sound and fury at draft time signifying nothing?
First of all, Kobe is not getting traded.
Yeah, you're right.
Kobe's going to call his media friends and say this, say that.
He's going to blob 24 KD.
He's the guy who wanted this situation.
Yeah.
He wanted Shaq out of town.
Thank
okay,
you.
Kobe, here's your team. And there's
Show
no other reason to watch them. Buy the garb, change the jersey number, whatever. He's the franchise out there. Have fun out there. Now, I think Garnett is going to be the guy who gets traded this week out of all these players. And if Garnett goes to the Lakers, yeah, I'll
you know
go
what?
Watch
good for him, because he has been an absolutely quiet, dignified superstar for 10 years. At age 31, he deserves a shot at a ring. People used to blame him for not advancing the Timberwolves. I think that was wrong. L.A. would be nice for him. It would be great.
Well, since they all hate Boston, you may as well go there.
And by the way, that trade, if they're talking about getting Lamar Odom and Bynum, I mean, Kevin's going to be roasted. Kevin McHale makes that trade, and that's what he gets for Kevin Garnett. Oh, stand back. I mean, people out there who are skeptical already wonder what he's got on the owner. They're really going to wonder then.
Yeah.
But what about the philosophy in general terms of trading the superstar? Do you ever get full value?
No, you don't. The team that gets a superstar tends to do better.
Absolutely.
I mean, you can go back to Will Chamberlain, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, those guys. They take championships with them. You get five guys, all the Brian Winters you want. It doesn't translate into, five for
the
one.
The only one we have to have the wait and see. The jury's out on Iverson.
Because
I was skeptical, too. But Denver looks like they might really be good. And Philly started winning games. They were better off. Apparently it was addition by subtraction. All right. Now, question number seven. I love this one. Will former BC center Sean Williams be a first-round pick? Sean Williams has first-round talent, but he's had personal problems. He was kicked off the BC team after about 117 chances, and he's had problems with marijuana and maturity issues. So, will an NBA team look past all those issues and see a phenomenally talented shot blocker and use their first-round pick on Williams? I think I know the answer.
Of course they will. This is the NBA. It's about talent.
NBA, not NFL now. You think even in the NBA.
Those two leagues, it's all about talent. And again, you have to have it.
What about team chemistry?
The Patriots compromised all of their standards to go get talent. In the NBA, it's a no-brainer. You always go for talent. This guy's got world-class shot-blocking talent.
This is not a big college basketball city, as we well know, okay?
Yes.
People here don't know how great Sean Williams is at his great specialty. He is as good a shot blocker. He's the best in the college game today.
Mm-hmm.
He will move into the NBA and be the greatest shot blocker in the league. I am telling you, when he gets in this league.
We agree on this. There's people. Who's at 17? Who's got the pick?
Jersey slobbering over him, man.
Not going to be there. Won't be at 17.
No.
I think he goes 10 to 15 easily. He could stun you and go somewhere in the top 10.
I mean, people, somebody having a spell, say, you know what, we're going to roll the dice because we're going to sell this kid. I'm telling you, and here's the thing about him. How much money he's kicked away in the initial accounting here. He would have been, about 6, 7, 8. I'm telling you, now he's going to, but if he makes it, he gets it all back. But I just don't think people here have any idea how good Sean Williams is.
I think you're right about that. We're going to find out Thursday night what the rest of the
world
thinks.
And by the way, there's a school of thought that says he has no offense. That is simply not true. It's not the greatest, but it's more developed, for example, than Okafor's was at a comparable stage. I promise you that.
I'm not going to argue with that.
That's the guy. I'm telling you. All right. Now, coming up next, is the AL East pennant race over? That and more as Globe 10.0, presented by Verizon, continues. Welcome back to Globe 10.0, presented by Verizon. Seven questions down and three to go. Question number eight. Is the AL East over? The Sox have a 10-game lead over the Blue Jays, 11 over the Yankees. Ha-ha. In the last 9 years in this division, the only team to have a lead this large on June 26th was the Yankees in 1998. They had a 10-game lead and went on to win the division by 22 games. Is the race over this year? Now, Dan, I know you'd never be one to declare a race over prematurely, would you?
Secretary at the Belmont, brother. That's what it's looking like right here. Yes, this is over. And, you know, it's okay to say that. It's okay to say.
But, Dan, it's the Yankees. People can't get it in their head.
Well, it's time to stop.
And do you not agree? We both did it. Yeah, on Monday morning, picked up the paper and found the Yankees in third place and looked at second. Said, wait a minute, how'd that happen? You still worry. You don't even care. It's like the Blue Jays, yeah. Orioles, and Tampa Bay don't exist.
This is, well, there's a reason for that. They deserve not to
they
exist.
Barely exist.
I thought Toronto was going to be better, but
no,
that's
I've
beside
been,
the
I put my hand on stove, hand on that stove, yeah. 3 years in a row, okay? Yeah. And we all love J.P. Ricciardi. But yeah. Anyway, Yankees, this race, it is over, isn't it?
You can say it. It's okay. This is just not 1978. You know,
no.
the Yankees this year aren't like the 78 Yankees. They don't have that kind of pitching to come back. They don't have that many world-class, big-time hitters to come back. Clutch kind of guys that they had in 78. And the Sox aren't designed to fold the way they were in 78.
Also, 78, I mean, you know, the Botanison thing, the Zimmer thing.
This is okay. This team, the Sox, as constituted, they're not going to blow a 10-game lead.
So the race is over. Now we're trying to get the pitching rotation in the first round, ALDS against, the Indians, the wild card runner, winner in the All right, now. Are we here? Lugo's approaching the Hank Aguirre line. Forget the Mendoza line. Chris had a terrible start. All right. Manny has not come close to being Manny. He was hitting 300. Who cares about that? Yeah. He still has et cetera. How do we get here?
Well, there's pitching. It's pitching that's got him here. They have. Every day they put out a guy. No one knew Tavares was going to be this kind of a starter, but every day they've been able to put a guy out there that can get him six innings, keep him in the game. That's baseball. In this day and age, you're way ahead of everybody. And Theo, to his credit, has put together a bullpen that is not bad. The guy at the end of the bullpen, we know, is the best thing going. But the middle, Okajima, these guys getting the job done. To get from 6 to 8, you know, they've done it.
And by the way, to get from plus 7 to plus 14, Okajima was as important as anybody, I think, at that point. I mean, this guy who won't be in the All-Star game, it's all stacked against him because of his nature of his position. But wow, huh?
We thought he was a stablemate.
So
the guy you bring to have the next
draw. You're booking your playoff.
They're in the playoffs.
Location.
They're in.
All right,
yes.
Dan Shaughnessy.
They're in.
A cautious man, you know, ordinarily. Question 9 is our on-point question. Each day we will use a question from one of our viewers. Text your question to 83733 or visit Nesson.com to submit your question. Now today's question comes from Courtney in Maine. She asks, where does Ken Griffey Jr. rank with baseball's all-time greats? Now, Griffey moved into 7th place on the all-time home run list on Sunday after blasting his 584th career homer. He's 2 away from Dan's good friend Frank Robinson. His career numbers are better than Mickey Mantle's. Ha-ha, Billy Crystal. So where does he rank with the all-time greats?
Well, your crack 10.0 staff put together these numbers, and they are amazing.
They're
to me. To look
numbers.
At Mantle, Mays, and Frank, and again, it makes me... Much like with Mantle, you say about Griffey, what if he hadn't been injured so much?
You know,
what would we be looking
here.
At?
You know that this last 4 years in Seattle, okay, before he went to Cincinnati, he averaged 48 homers and 140 ribbies in Seattle. And I mean, on his way, look, he was going to be the guy that we were going to have the Aaron countdown for.
No question.
He was the guy, not the other guy.
No question.
Whose name will go, as you like to say, the man whose name will not be mentioned.
Voldemort,
he was the guy. He wins 10 gold gloves at a much more difficult defensive position.
Yes.
He's the best player of our time, in my opinion.
He's beautiful to watch in center field. We have forgotten about him. He's not gotten his due, which is unfortunate. But much like with Mantle, it could have been a lot more. But it's comparable.
And
I'm amazed.
And he's having a renaissance.
Yes.
He's having a renaissance. And by the way, he may be a very interesting topic come July 31st because the Reds are horrendous despite what he's doing. And, you know, he will have a decision to make. I think they're going to present, Ken, you want to go help somebody and get yourself into, by the way, he's only been in one postseason series. It's about time to get him
to remember that.
And
he could go back to Seattle, too.
All right. So wouldn't that be great? Or do you want to stay here, you know, and hit before your Mueller High friends? I mean, come on, Ken, let's go. You can be in the playoffs.
Hard to say. He loves that Cincinnati thing. He's set there. But, yeah, I'd love to see him in the postseason again.
First ballot Hall of Fame, no question. All right, coming up next, I'll say it. Barry Bonds played for the Red Sox. Would we show him the love? Welcome back to Globe 10.0, presented by Verizon. 9 questions down and 1 to go. Now, What if Barry Bonds was one of us? Would we show him the love in San Francisco? Bonds is adored by the fans, despite what they think they know or think they might know or whatever. He gets unconditional love. Now, what would it be like if he played in Boston? Would Red Sox fans show a guy like that the love? We've never been put to that test like this, have we?
I don't think so. I mean, his personality is more along the lines of Jim Rice, who didn't get a whole lot of love here either, and he had half the numbers that Barry's got. The interesting thing to me about Barry is how this renaissance of his image since he played in Fenway. Ten days ago. It's
Show
like
me.
It was the beginning of the rehab tour of Barry Bonds. All of a sudden, now he's stealing bases.
Here's a close. You know, hockey is the one sport where you have to embrace villains, and, you know, it's a given. Terry O'Reilly is not beloved in the other NHL cities the way he is here, okay?
Right.
So we put hockey over here. It's kind of a given.
Okay.
Now, Doug Flutie, who is certainly as close to a local icon as we have in our last 25 years, right? He crossed the picket line. He crossed the
and who didn't happen.
Anybody remember that?
Didn't happen.
No. So does that answer our question or not?
And I think that the Randy Moss thing answers it quite a bit. If he had gone to another team, he's a pariah. He comes here, everybody loves him. They're willing to give him a chance.
The people root for the laundry.
Yeah.
Period.
Yes, but I think Barry would have tested that, especially having played so much of his career elsewhere, to come here at the end. I'm not sure if folks would have bought into him.
Rodney Harrison, big enough star for this to be a pertinent issue?
No, and it wasn't as well known as a guy like the people we've been talking about.
You've got to be an insider. You've got to be a real football guy that really know that he's one of the five most hated players.
Suppose Lambert and Mahorn have come here.
That's 20 years ago, that would have been a
there
test.
There you go.
Would have been a test. All right, now, let's get back on point. We revisit the topic here. We talked about the Celtics and the potential of the draft pick and trading it all. The key to any trade, two things, the fifth pick and... Al Jefferson. Now, I mean, the thought of trading Al Jefferson to me is repugnant. I mean, are you as on board with Al as I am?
No, I'm not as on board as Al. Right. He's got the Karl Malone body. He was only going to be 23 years old.
Yep, 23 in the fourth agenda?
It got a little carried away. They put him on the press guide after his rookie year, and he was the only reason to exist if you were a Celtic fan. And then he had the down year, second year. Obviously, came back in a big way this year. I saw your numbers, 16-11.
16-11.
That's pretty good.
That hides the fact that in the last, like, 25 or 30 games, he was a solid 20 every night.
Well,
that's a season average, and has tilted.
I understand
the second half of the season. Great hands, great feet.
Okay,
smart kid.
They have overrated a lot of their own people. That's not one of them at this point. Where he is, I agree with you. But they have overrated a lot of the rest of their talent. But you have to make the deal if you can do it.
Well, I say keep Al. Thank you very much for joining us tonight. Tune into Sports Desk following Red Sox baseball as Dan and I will debate our extra point question tomorrow. Nick Cafardo will be our guest. See you then.